Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I want to say thank you for joining us again this morning for our online lessons here in the Conquerors Sunday School class. Thank you for joining us each Sunday morning, and I hope that you'll invite someone to tune in and listen to the lessons as well until we can get through this COVID situation. We'll be doing it each week here online, and then hopefully one day soon we'll be able to be back in our class together there in Baker Auditorium at our church. Church of the Open Door. I want to start today our lesson number 12 in this series entitled So Great Salvation. Our lesson today is entitled We Must Be About Our Father's Business. And our lesson thought today, I'd like to just sum it up in one simple question. And this is the question I'd like to ask you. What if it were today? You know, today's lesson theme verse is found in this passage of Scripture. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Now that's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the first part of verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come. You know, the words to an old song go like this. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim His chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over this whole earth scattered wide, what if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown Him King. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, called up to meet Him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? What if it were today? Faithful and true would He find us here, if He should come today. Watching in gladness and not in fear, if He should come today. Signs of His coming multiply. Morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? You know, born-again believers all around the world are looking forward to that day when all the redeemed shall be called out of this old world of sorrow and sin and be called up together to meet the Lord in the clouds and to be with Him forevermore. And whether folks around us choose to believe it or not, Jesus is indeed coming to earth again, coming in power and love to reign, coming to claim His chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over this whole world scattered wide. But the question is, what if it were today? Folks, it is for this reason that you and I, as born-again believers, must be about our Father's business. You know, the story in the Word of God that talks about when Mary and Joseph searched all Jerusalem for the Son of God, who then, in the eyes of all men, was a mere 12-year-old boy. They finally went into the place where most folks would have least expected to find a 12-year-old boy to be, and that was in the house of God. And in anguish of heart, when they found Him there, they harshly scolded Him. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, the Bible said, And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought for thee sorrowing. But in verse number 49, in words that would forever be remembered by both His earthly mother and father, the Bible says, And He said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? He, Jesus, was reminding them that although in physical earthly years and in the eyes of earthly men, he was only a 12-year-old boy, but he still had a job to do that would forever affect the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the earth, and that being to accomplish his father's desire and business, which was and still is today, to seek and to save that which is lost. Our lesson theme verses express this fact as well by reminding us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I want you to look at the first part of verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come. And this is why you and I, as God's dear and obedient children, as God's dear church for whom he gave his only begotten Son, as the bride of Christ, who will one day be caught up in the clouds to forever be with our Lord and Savior, as the means by which the Lord enables those who are lost to be able to hear the word of God and believe unto salvation, this is why you and I need to be about our Father's business, which is taking the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the ends of the earth. The psalmist David put it this way in Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 10. He wrote these words saying, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Nowhere in the Bible do we ever see where our Lord ever said, "Except a man become a Baptist, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." And nowhere in the Word of God do we ever read our Lord stating something like this, "Except a man be baptized or pasteurized or homogenized, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." And you'll never find it written in the Word of God where our Lord ever told anyone, "Except a man be baptized or sprinkled or partake of the Eucharist or be given his last rites or be a proper church member or tithe unto the church of his choice or even except a man treat his neighbor as he himself would want to be treated, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." But you can read in the Bible where the Lord did say specifically in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And when confronted by the religious leaders of his day regarding this statement, we again read in the Word of God, specifically in John chapter 3, verse 7, where Jesus told the facts to those religious leaders, stating, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." No wonder the Apostle Paul was so adamant when he asked in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And again, that word preacher means a declarer, a herald of the word of God. And in reminding us of this, he writes there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And as if he were confirming both the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as well as those spoken and written by other apostles, the apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This is why Jesus stated with such authority and power in John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." This is why when the apostles were all thrown in jail, not for singing the hymns of the faith or for standing up against some political wrong that their leaders had done, but for preaching and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that would hear, we read there in Acts chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, that God wanted them to keep on declaring this message. And we read there in that passage that the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." No wonder as our Lord watched so many turn away and forsake the message that he preached and declared unto them. We read there in John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, that from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Oh, dear child of God, this is why it is so important that you and I must be about our Father's business, and that being to tell others of the great news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. For as we read earlier there in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the question was asked, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It is important that you and I be about our Father's business of winning the lost to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, as our lesson theme verse reminds us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. And because that day of our Lord's soon and imminent return is indeed at hand, and because the eternal souls of men, women, boys, and girls all around us and in our world are at stake, you and I, as truly born-again children of God, must be found faithful and obedient unto the one who has saved us, so that we might see the need to seriously be about our Father's business. So now, I want you to look at the lesson outline there on the website today. The outline is there. You can print it out if that would be a help to you. But I want you to get your Bible, and I want us to take a look at what God's Word has to say about this lesson that we've entitled today, "We Must Be About Our Father's Business." Now, as born-again children of God seeking to be about our Father's business, you and I need to realize some things today. Number one, we need to realize that there is no greater joy that we have to look forward to as to the day of the Lord's return. Now, look at it with me today. The day of the Lord shall come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, again reminds us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In other words, God wants everybody to be saved. But folks, I want you to understand, the day of the Lord will come. While God does indeed desire that all the world should come unto repentance and be saved, there is coming a day when after those who have heard the message so often and have yet rejected the saving power of that message time and time again, the Lord will finally say, "You know what? Enough is enough. I'm calling my church home and I'm sending judgment upon those who have for so long rejected me and defiled my word." There in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, we read this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And after God provided Noah with his plan of salvation for all who would listen and believe the message of God's saving grace, and after so many years of Noah's being faithful to declare that fact, that God's judgment of sin would indeed come, men needed to repent of their sin, and they needed to come into the ark of safety and protection to be saved from that coming judgment. But the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, that the Lord said unto Noah, Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep them alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible said, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in verses 21, 22, and 23, we read these sad words. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God did not want any of those folks to perish in their sin. And Noah did all that he could do to warn them of the wrath to come. But those folks who perished chose to reject the message from God's man, Noah. And God is indeed not willing that any should perish. But you and I must be willing to witness to all those around us who have never yet heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our job is to warn them of God's wrath to come and of the coming judgment upon sin. The day that Jesus steps out on the clouds of glory and calls his children home will indeed be a great day for those of us who are saved, but it's going to be a terrible day for those who have heard and yet rejected the soul-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Surely, there is no greater day for the born-again child of God to look forward to than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will indeed be a sad day for those who have not yet been saved. And folks, you and I must be willing to be about our Father's business and to do all that we can do to reach these folks while we still can. Yes, the day of the Lord will surely come. But let me ask you this question this morning. What if it were today? What if it were today? Many Christians seem to be so excited as they think about the rapturing out of God's children from this old world of sin. And we should be excited. But folks, I want you to remember something this morning. When Jesus calls us home to be with him, and we are suddenly raptured out of this world in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, what a day that's going to be. For in that moment, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed from bodies of sin and corruption to have new bodies that are incorruptible, and forever we will be with the Lord. But never forget this, folks. On that day of joy and gladness for us as born-again children of God, those who have heard the message of the gospel and who have rejected it, perhaps only once or perhaps over and over again, for them, that day, it's going to be the beginning of great sorrow and suffering, which is going to last for all eternity. And what if it were today? There is truly no greater day for the born-again child of God to look forward to than that day when the Lord Jesus calls us home to be with Him. And if you'll remember, Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, when we as born-again believers physically die, the Bible teaches that the souls of those of us who are saved go immediately to be in the presence of God in that place called heaven that our Lord has prepared for us who have received Him as our own personal Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," and that's referring to our physical bodies, "we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And just a few verses down in that very same chapter, the Apostle Paul explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, he said, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So we see and we understand that when a saved person dies, our body, which is referred to here as our earthly tabernacle, it can be buried or whatever in the ground and dissolved away. But our soul is taken immediately into the presence of the Lord, where we will forever be with the Lord in heaven. But for the born-again child of God, there is something else that we need to remember too. And that being that if the Lord Jesus comes back again before we die, we would never have to die physically. And this is what Jesus spoke of when He promised there in John chapter 14 that one day He would indeed come again to take His children home to heaven, where we will be with Him for all eternity. And again, the Apostle Paul put it this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," and that word sleep here refers to that physical death of the body. He said, "We're not all going to die. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus will indeed come again with all those saints of God who are already in heaven. And He's going to step out on the clouds and call all His born-again children home to be with Him before the wrath of God is unleashed upon this wicked and vile world. Paul writes in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He writes there in verses 13 and 14. And he says unto that church in Thessalonica, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those who have died, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him? And then he goes on to describe there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, what will happen on the day that our Lord Jesus returns. And he says this, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Oh, think about it. On that day, the Bible says the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a great shout, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And that means basically that the bodies of those Christians who have died and were buried before the Lord comes back, those bodies are going to be raised up from the dead and gathered up into heaven, where they will receive a new, incorruptible body that will never again die. And at the same time, the Bible goes on to say, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And this is that blessed hope that's spoken of in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that we as born-again children of God have to look forward to our Lord's imminent return. And what a wonderful and glorious day that is going to be. And oh, how we should ever be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is closer than it has ever been before. And what if it were today? You see, the lost world around us cannot understand why we as Christians look up when things go wrong in this old world instead of looking down and being so depressed. But it is because we know that Jesus is coming again. And it's for this reason that we, as God's dear children, should determine to live daily for him. And we should seek daily to live our lives in such a manner that is well-pleasing unto him. Yes, the world may laugh at us, and they may even say to us, "We've heard that old story for years and years, and he's still not come." But child of God, listen to me. The lost world never thought that Jesus would come the first time, like he was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. But he did. And just as sure as he fulfilled his promise and he came into this world the first time, honey, Jesus will once again come and fulfill his promise to come and take us home to be with him, even as we read there in our 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, where the Bible said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that we have all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Child of God, you and I have been saved to live for and to serve the one who has saved us. And he called us to be his own. Therefore, we are to look around us and to see all those things that are coming to pass in our world today, just as the Bible has foretold that it would. And we need to be looking for the coming of the Son of God. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Folks, there is no greater joy for the born-again child of God to look forward to. And if we truly are looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we expect it to happen at any moment, just as the Bible says, then we should be living our lives in such a way, each and every day, that is so pleasing unto our Lord and is so spiritually different than the way the world lives, and certainly different than the way we used to live before we got saved and received the Lord Jesus as our Savior, so that we will not be ashamed to stand before him when he comes and calls us home. Listen, the Apostle Paul reminded the Christians living in Corinth, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, he reminded them and he said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel." And so it should be with each of us today. We should love the Lord enough to literally practice what we preach to be true, so as to let all the world know that Jesus does indeed save souls and he changes lives. One day, you and I shall indeed stand before the Lord, and we're going to give account unto him for how we have lived for him and served him since we were saved. The Bible reminds us of this there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. There the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Child of God, don't you be ashamed to stand faithfully for the Lord in this old wicked world in which we live. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Child of God, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing and with a joyful spirit. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has so wonderfully and marvelously saved you. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his fathers with the holy angels." Now let me ask you something today. When you stand before the Lord and you stand there to give account unto him as to how you have served him and lived for him in this earthly life, will the Lord Jesus look at his heavenly Father on that day and say, "Yeah, Father, this is one of my children, but I am so sad and ashamed to say that he never lived for you the way that he should have after he got saved"? Oh, child of God, may we never forget that one day when we as born-again children of God stand before the Lord, there shall be rewards both given and received, and yet desired to have, yet never received, even as we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, where the Bible says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Child of God, what are you doing for Jesus? What have you done for Jesus? What are you still doing for Jesus today? Oh, child of God, there is truly no greater day to look forward to. But just remember that on that day, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Let's determine that when we stand before the Lord one day in heaven, that we're not going to stand ashamed because we were not faithful to live for him as we should have, and because we never took the time to tell anybody about how to go to heaven while we live down here upon this earth. As we face each new day, let's determine to live as if today were the day that the Lord Jesus might return and take us home to be with him. Truly, there is no greater day for the child of God to look forward to. But we also need to remember the fact, number two, no greater privilege do we have as a child of God than to be about our Father's business. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What a joy and a privilege you and I have as born-again children of God to take the message of the gospel and share it with everyone we come in contact with. There is no greater joy and there is no greater privilege than to be about our Father's business. And that being, as Jesus said there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, to be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever the disciples went and shared the message of the gospel with those who needed to hear of God's amazing grace, people were saved. And as we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. And when the disciples were persecuted and ridiculed and even beaten for the sharing of the gospel with the people, and their lives were being threatened for telling others about Jesus, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42, that those disciples departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Look at that. They didn't go out sad-faced. They left presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, they were not looking at the earthly penalties for sharing the gospel, but they were looking at the precious privilege of sharing what Jesus had done for them and that he so desired to do for everybody else that would just listen to the message. Folks, there is truly no greater privilege for any child of God than to be about our Father's business. But lastly, I want us to remember something here, that there is no greater responsibility that we have than to give account unto God for telling others about Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to remember that there are some things that in this old life, they're going to stand out for all eternity. Folks, never forget that one day will be our last day to tell somebody about Jesus. Jesus reminds us in James chapter 4, verse number 14. There James wrote, he said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." The psalmist David wrote his request unto God in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, saying, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You see, one day will be our last day to do those things which we promised the Lord that one day we would do. One day will be our last day to share the message of the gospel with those folks that we said that we had such a burden for, and yet we never took the time to actually share the gospel with those folks. And they died and went to hell without ever hearing the message of the gospel. Oh, dear child of God, don't allow the devil to steal away your opportunity to share the message of the gospel with someone, either before you die without telling them or before they die without ever having the opportunity to hear. Why? Because one day you will have to give account unto God for those people that you allowed to die and go to hell without ever having shared the good news of the gospel with them before they died. You know, over in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, we read of God having to wipe away the tears of his children in heaven, wipe away the tears from their eyes. And I honestly believe that those tears are being shed that day because of all the loved ones and of all the acquaintances and all the co-workers and schoolmates and neighbors and friends and, yes, even of the enemies that we may have had that we could have told and should have told but never took the time to tell how to be saved. And we have to watch them stand before God and be found guilty of rejecting the Son of God as their own personal Savior, and be cast into the lake of fire, forever separated from the God who so loved them and gave himself for them. But secondly, never forget that one day will be someone else's last day to hear the good news of the gospel. Whenever I think about this fact, I remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man found there in the book of Luke, chapter number 16. There the Bible said in verse number 19 that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And folks, that man never took the time to think about God, let alone the fact that one day he, like all other men before him, would die and enter into eternity. But in this chapter, The Bible describes how that without having any sort of warning or premonition of any type of some unforeseen event such as death, this rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. One day, folks, it will be someone you know's last day to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, what a sad day that's going to be for so many people. I remember Dr. John R. Rice telling the story of a man who wrote a letter to him begging for him to come to his house and tell him how to be saved. But Dr. Rice explained in his story how that he was so busy preaching in revivals and traveling here and there that he didn't take the time to go to this dear man who was dying of cancer and had begged him in his letter to share the gospel of the message of salvation with him before he died. And Dr. Rice didn't go. And in that story, he said how that one day, a few weeks after he had received that letter, he finally decided that he had time to send somebody over to see that man and to share the message of the gospel with him. But when Dr. Rice's friend got there, Dr. Rice was informed that the man had already died. And most likely, he died without ever having heard the message of the gospel and being saved. And as Dr. Rice tells that story, tears fill his eyes as he begs those of us who are listening to him tell the story to never pass up the opportunity to be about the Father's business and to tell someone about Jesus, especially when you know that they have only a short while to live and to hear the gospel story that they might be saved. I remember back in 2017 receiving a phone call from a man who had stopped coming to our church. And he told me when he called me, he said he knew that he was wrong to ever leave and stop coming to our church. And he knew he ought to come back, but he had a neighbor who was dying of cancer. And he didn't want that neighbor to die and go to hell. And he called the church and he said, I wonder if you would just be willing to come, even though I'm not coming there right now, would you be willing to come and tell my neighbor how to be saved? Well, I told him, yes, I'll be willing to come. And if that man will allow me to come into his house, I'll be glad to share with him the message of the gospel. So that man, with joy in his heart, said, well, let me call him right now and see what he says, and I'll call you right back. And in just a few minutes, that man called me back with a joyful tone in his voice and in his heart. And he told me that his neighbor said that he would be glad to have me come as soon as I could to talk to him. And so I made arrangements to do just that. And on that Tuesday evening, I went to Floyd Beaver's house where the neighbor who had called me and asked me to go to see him came over and he introduced me to Mr. Beaver. And I was not only able to lead Mr. Beaver to Christ, who was dying of cancer, but I had the privilege to lead his wife to Christ as well that very same night. That was on a Tuesday night. I never will forget it. And before leaving his house, Mr. Beaver looked at me and he grabbed my hand and he shook my hand and he thanked me for telling him about Jesus. But then he asked me, he said, could I ask you to do me one more favor? And I said, well, sure, Mr. Beaver, what is it? He said, I don't go to church and I don't have a pastor, but I know I'm going to die. And when I die, I want to know if you would be willing to preach my funeral and tell all my friends and tell all my family exactly what you told me tonight so they too could be saved. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, Mr. Beaver, I'd be honored to do that for you. Now again, that was on Tuesday night. On Friday morning of that same week, I got a phone call from that neighbor who had called me and asked me to come over and share the message of the gospel with Mr. Beaver on Tuesday. And he told me that earlier that morning, Mr. Beaver had died and gone to heaven. Thank God for the privilege of sharing the message of the gospel with that dear man and his dear wife. And they both got saved. And when I preached the service at that man's funeral that following week, some 50 people or more raised their hand proclaiming that they had trusted Jesus as their Savior when I gave the invitation. Oh, thank God that I did not forsake the opportunity and the privilege of telling this man and his dear wife how to be saved so that all those other folks also would have the opportunity to hear the gospel at his funeral. This was the last opportunity that man would have ever had to hear the gospel. And I am so glad that God allowed me to share the message with him. But lastly, not only will one day be our last day to share the gospel, and one day will be someone else's last day to hear the gospel, but never forget that one day we shall all stand before God. Let me ask you something this morning, dear child of God. Who will be in heaven one day because you were willing to take the message of the gospel to them and share with them how to go to heaven when they die? Let me ask you this. Who do you know that will not be in heaven because you should have told them about Jesus, but you simply never took the time to do it? Listen, folks, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell, and I'm sure that you do not either. But folks, the truth is, there are going to be a lot of folks in hell simply because you and I, as born-again children of God, never took the time or had the concern to go and tell them. And this is sad. The last verse of the song that I introduced at the beginning of today's lesson said, "Faithful and true would he find us here if he should come today, watching in gladness and not in fear, if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today?" Child of God, the simple truth is this. You and I need to make the right choice today. And that choice being to be about our Father's business. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Child of God, my prayer this morning is that as never before in our lives, you and I will decide to make that meat which spiritually sustains us to do the will of him who has saved us and to finish the work that he has saved us to do, and that being to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and eventually all the world around us with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late for those who do not yet know Christ as their Savior and those folks that we say we love and want to go to heaven. Folks, we need to be about our Father's business. The Bible reminds us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Child of God, let me ask you, what will you choose to do today? Will you just sit by and watch people die and go to hell without Jesus and one day stand before God with tears in your eyes as you give account unto God for the souls that you let slip through your fingers and die without Jesus? Or will you decide, starting today, to be about our Father's business and start telling all those folks that you know who need to be saved, telling them the good news that Jesus saves? Jesus is coming soon. What if it were today? Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us as born-again children of God to catch a vision for those who are lost around us. I ask you, dear Lord, today to speak to the hearts of those who are listening to this lesson. Help our hearts, Lord, to be convicted and burdened for those who are lost. And help us, Lord, today to be willing to be about our Father's business. Lord, we love you. And I pray, God, that you'll bless this lesson and use it to speak to the hearts of your children. And we'll thank you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that you'll join us today at 10:45 for our services right here live on the internet, or you can join us live there at the church at 10:45 and hear Pastor Belcher preaching the Word of God. We'll look for you again tonight at 6 and then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Conqueror's Online Sunday School class. We hope that you'll join us next week as well. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.